Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the Coaching Conversation. In this series, we're aiming to help business owners, business leaders, and fellow coaches by sharing our experience and the experience of our guests who've coached people all around the world in all of different sectors and industries that you can imagine. So, very little more to say other than do please now sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition, and look out for a special offer for our loyal audience at the end of the program. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Coaching Conversation. My guest today is Brandy Marrick, and she's going to help us talk through how you meet the challenges of working in a family company. Brandy, you're all the way in Houston, Texas, and you're talking to us on the Coaching Conversation. So yeah. Introduce yourself to our audience. Who are you and what makes you want to talk about helping people with family companies?
Awesome. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on today. This is great. I appreciate the opportunity. Again, my name is Brandy Marrick. I am a business advisor with Ferguson Alliance. And Ferguson Alliance specializes in family-owned businesses. So we help them with anything from succession planning to team organizational management, you name it. Our goal is to help the business increase its value for whatever end game the business owner is looking to do. I got here, I'm passionate about this because I spent 15 years working in my husband's family-owned business. And we were actually clients of Ferguson long before I joined the firm. So I have some considerable experience with not only working in a family business, but navigating the dynamics of working with your family and what that's like. And so now I really enjoy helping other people who were just like myself and my family take their next step.
What would be sort of definition of a family business? How would you shape up a family business to be a potential client?
Right. So we, you know, we say family-owned business, but we consider that any kind of privately held entity. So it could be partners. They don't have to be related. Or it could be, you know, one person, one maybe, you know, father or mother owning it and wanting to pass it down. We just typically stay away from any kind of private equity owned businesses, or of course any kind of, you know, publicly traded corporation.
Right. Okay, I understand. So a typical client, would that be the organization itself? Would it be the owner, the leader? How would you normally be asked to help out?
Sure. I would say most of our engagements start by the owner or, you know, the ownership seeking out some sort of guidance, whether it be guidance from a governance perspective, or maybe they know that they want to sell the business at some point. But typically ownership is reaching out. They've got some sort of pain point that they're trying to alleviate. And then it usually progresses from there. So we help them kind of identify where their pain points are. Maybe we mediate some conversations around what they already know their pain points are. And then usually that segues into working a little deeper in the organization to help implement some of those changes that need to be made within the organization. So again, think about it as we often do an assessment. So this is kind of like your annual physical. And then we tackle the things that we've identified in that assessment to get the organization and the business healthier.
So they'd normally start by coming to you with a particular thing in mind, a particular challenge in mind. And then
Correct.
As you were working with them and doing your diagnosis, your assessment, you would put that into some kind of context and presumably unearth what other issues there were, perhaps the causation issues that were sitting behind it in the first place. Okay.
Correct.
Is there
often
any...
they're coming with one issue. And maybe that is the root of a lot of issues that they're experiencing, or maybe it's not. And so we help them see right. Where they need to kind of flow some of that energy.
Are there common occurring challenges that you see frequently?
Typically, yeah. The biggest ones are usually if you've got multiple family members, communication is usually a big issue that we see. And so there's usually issues around communication regarding where to take the business next, either in terms of strategy or product development, things like that. So we typically, that's one that we see often. Two is just some sort of just succession planning. Like maybe there's not a big issue around it. They just don't know how to do it. They don't know, a lot of people think like it's just a legal and a tax thing, but it goes far beyond that. It goes, into is the person or people ready to take it to the next level? If not, what should they be doing in order to get it ready? Is the owner ready? A lot of times, we'll experience ownership believes that they're ready to either pass the business along, but then they find out, oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, what am I going to do with myself? What's my purpose? Where am I going? How am I going to handle this? So we help sort out some of that. Sometimes it's just complacency. Like maybe the ownership doesn't really know what's going on. I just know that I'm not as fired up about my business as I used to be. I don't get excited about it. My revenue hasn't really grown. It's just kind of stagnated. And I just need some outside perspective to kind of figure out where to take this thing and what to do with it. So we do often find that most ownership, a lot of their net worth is tied up in their business. And so they get a little older. They start to realize, like, hey, I need to retire. How am I going to do that? Everything's here in this business. What does that look like? What am I going to do? And they often go, gosh, I should have been thinking about this years ago. So we help them understand how to increase some of that value in their business, how they may be able to liquidate some of that and figure out, again, their next steps, whatever it may be, either it's selling or passing it along or transitioning out of operational duties in there. It's very nuanced.
I can see. I can, yeah, multi-dimensional. Do you find that it's different, all the problems are different if it's second generation or third generation as opposed to the founding generation? Was does that not really come up?
I would say that it does, yes, that there are often different things that each generation typically struggles with. Usually, from the first to the second, we experience that the second generation has some ideas, usually around like productivity and technology and things to kind of increase, how the business is doing things. And that can be challenging for the first generation to see. They often, have built it up from the ground up, and they have a little more grit to them. The first generation does. The second generation hasn't had to struggle in that sense of, being the person that does all of the things within the business. And, I myself experienced this kind of firsthand in our business. That was kind of a struggle for me when we first started thinking about transitioning and working through a lot of the things, was just really not, I would say in the beginning, I really didn't have a good respect and understanding of just how far the business had come, because it was successful already when I entered into it. And so, yeah, that can be very challenging.
I can imagine. Do you find that if the family you have already employed professional managers and they're effectively just acting as shareholders, does that impact the work that you do?
It can, yes. We've had a few clients that that rings true for sure. Either the non-family members are usually long-standing employees of the organization, so they too have seen it kind of come up from the beginning, and that can be a little challenging as well because you've got some of that legacy employee. It can almost be like a step family member or something like that. So that can be challenging. It can be challenging too because they're not a part of the family and they feel like they have a lot of ownership in it, and yet they don't. So sometimes they can feel a little overpowered by the decisions that maybe ownership decides to take the organization to. But yeah, that can be That can be very challenging from that perspective. But then the opposite side of that is it can be very enlightening if you have someone that's in there with some good, best practices from a different organization. They're able to bring that and kind of balance out the greatness that a family business can provide, but also deliver some a little bit more structure that they often need. So it's just kind of we try to figure out where exactly it's at and make sure that the shareholders understand that if they are truly going to be shareholders, that they have to let the people that are there in the operational role operate the business. And so understanding those boundaries and where they stop and start, and yeah, that can be challenging for the
You mentioned
shareholders.
at the beginning your diagnosis, your early analysis of the organization and how it's faring. What other techniques do you have for helping your clients? Once you've got the analysis, what else would you use?
Yeah, so we use a lot of we often do behavioral assessments either always with our ownership clients and then anybody on their team that they may want to do it with. And we always kind of joke that we're kind of 50% therapists, but oftentimes it is very true. There's a huge emotional piece to the work that we do because our clients are passionate about what they do. They're passionate about their purpose, and they're often passionate about providing a great culture in a workplace for their employees. And so this helps us demonstrate to shareholders in ownership and leaders just exactly what type of people are on their team so that they can understand them on a deeper level as to maybe why they do the things that they do. And it's not just to annoy everyone, that this is sometimes their kind of default tendency. So that's a huge tool that we use as part of our, after work for the assessment to say, look, okay, these are your very specific business issues that you have going on. And so now let's look at it from a people perspective. And then we also deep dive in with the shareholders just around what do you want? What's your purpose? What do you want not only out of this business, but just out of your life in general? Where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself? And then what do you need to do in order to make that possible? So we attack it from all of the fronts, and really get deep with clients just around what's going to give them their greatest fulfillment in conjunction with their business and their life.
So, looking at the kind of projects that you just mentioned, I can see that they could be really quite lengthy. So, what would a assignment period be for you guys?
Yeah, I want to say our typical average engagement's about 24 months, so about 2 years. And usually I would say the kind of textbook way that that looks is just we start an assessment that usually will transition into some sort of, management team workshops, either around strategy or leadership or best practices, things like that. Then we enter an implementation phase where we're really working alongside the client, just implementing everything that they've learned and the things that they want to carry out. And then it usually tapers off either into, just some coaching or some governance. There's usually maybe it may transition into governance work. So now that the business is more steady state, they can work on the long-term governance plan of the organization, but typically about 24 months.
And depending on what the challenges are that come up, does that mean you often introduce them to other professionals like business vendors or HR professionals or accountants, whatever? Does that happen?
So when we are not helping clients, we are always expanding our network to make sure that we know all the professionals out there that can help our clients. So yes, wealth advisors, financial planners, attorneys, CPAs, you name it, we are consistently reaching out and developing those relationships and better understanding what they can provide so that we can provide, because we always find that there's another component that a client will need help with. and we are not legal or, you know, accountants. So we help that. Well, I say that we're not accountants. We do have a CPA on staff, Tom, that does a lot of intermediary stuff with banks and helping out with financial forecasting and things like that. But we wouldn't do their tax return is
no,
more.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you've got a multi-generational chain, so you've helped perhaps the founders or second generation, they've passed it to the next generation. Do you find that you bridge both generations, or does it, you're working for one party, then not the other, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, I think that's the beauty of our organization, and really why we call it an alliance, because we all kind of have our default areas that we enjoy working in. I do enjoy kind of helping that next gen understand the transition from just working in the organization to being more of a shareholder and operational manager. We do have some more seasoned staff and advisors that help from a first generation perspective. So yeah, we cover all of the facets of that dynamic in helping bring everyone back together to create some cohesion.
And do you find that there are classic personality types? You mentioned behavior a little while ago. Do you find often that there are, I won't say stereotypes, but situations that you see, behaviors that you see, personalities that you see on a frequent basis? Yeah.
Yes. I always like to remind clients that I too thought, wow, there's just nobody more interesting than my family. But I quickly learned that pretty much every family that I've worked with is tackling the same problems, just in different ways. And so we often run into the same issues, the same kind of default mode of operation that families find themselves in. And they've just all kind of tried to solve it in different ways, but they're facing a lot of the same issues. And so that really helps me feel a lot less alone.
Yeah,
yeah,
it happened to me. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And what sort of best practices, what sort of areas of best practice do you often see yourselves involved in? What are you trying to help them change more often than not?
Yeah. So I myself gravitate towards any kind of team management facilitation. And I really love the deep dive on the behavioral aspect and component of teamwork. So I like to come in as we start to enter into that strategic area of really figuring out, okay, how do we get everybody within the organization, not just the family, firing on all cylinders. So just like we walk the family members through, you know, what's your purpose? What do you want? Then we do the same with the management team and create some alignment around, okay, this is the strategy for the organization. This is where the organization is going. Now let's figure out how you're going to add value to that and how you're going to feel purposeful and fulfilled and succeed in this together as a team. Because oftentimes we find, you know, everyone's working in their own little space with their own little project. And so it's bringing them all together to understand how you build upon all of that. And so that's really where I like to gravitate towards, is helping the management team figure out how they're going to maximize and add value to the vision and the mission of the organization.
Do you use things, tools like psychometric profiling? Is that part of the toolkit that you use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes, the behavioral assessment, things like that. Yes. And so they do it on an individual basis, but then we create some team reports to really show, okay, from a team perspective, you've got all relators or you've got all analyzers and you don't have any kind of coordinators. So this is likely why you struggle in completing tasks, you know, things like that. So we look at it individually and team-based to help them understand, okay, what's missing, what's working really well, and how can you kind of fill those gaps as you go along in the future?
When we use psychometric tests in this kind of way, it gives them a common vocabulary and a
Yes.
definition of behavioral types, which desensitizes, removes emotions from some of the conflicts.
Yes.
And we find it quite
Yes.
a profound tool, quite a long-lasting tool. They'll keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. They may even take it wider and deeper into the organization as well.
Yes. I love it. That's my favorite part of it, and just the lightheartedness that it can bring to some really serious issues that people experience, and how it just opens up the door to be able to say, yeah, you know, I do, I know that I do that. And we just got to know that I do that. I'm working on it. And I want to change that. But until then, I'm likely to do these things that really annoy you some more.
And equally, I understand why you're doing what you're doing and why that
Yes.
helped me so much as well. Yeah,
Correct.
exactly.
Yeah, it's my
So,
favorite.
would you summarize by saying that most of the work that you do has a long-lasting effect for the organization? Does it tend to lead to very significant long-term change?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. And oftentimes, you know, we don't hear about it for many years, because our clients are moving through that change process. They're, even though we could tell them a million times, like, you're going to feel better once this is done, and you're going to feel, you know, all of these things, until they experience it for themselves, they don't know that. But then, you know, it translates into huge change in their hiring practices, in their management styles, and just in their expectations of their team and their people and the outcomes for the organization as well. And yeah, that takes time, but it's a lasting impact, I would say, for sure.
And this gives you a great sense of satisfaction, I assume, when you see what journey you've taken your clients on and how far they've traveled before you
Yes.
bid farewell. Yeah.
Yes. I would say in every project that I'm in, I too experience different stages. I kind of have my own little freak out where I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I don't know. How's this gonna go? And then I enter into the phase of, all right, they're slowly but surely they're getting there. And then you see them turn that corner, and like that just gives you the energy that you need to keep going. And finally it's all coming together. And it makes it all worth it.
Brandy, it's been great chatting with you. Thank you very much
Yeah, you as
for joining us
well.
on the coaching conversation. If any of the audience want to find you, how can they reach you?
Perfect. Well, the best place is usually LinkedIn. You can search me there, and that's Brandy Marek, Marek, or always our website, Ferguson-Alliance.com. We have a ton of resources on there. We do videos, articles, all of our podcasts that we've been on are linked there. And so you can even search by topic and articles, and all the resources will come up there. So that's a huge help for people to just get to learn a little bit more about us, how we operate, and hopefully help you with some of the issues that you're having. So those are the two places that would be best.
Randy, thanks very much for joining me. Thanks, everybody, for being part of this edition of the Coaching Conversation. And hopefully, you've learned a bit more about how to help family firms meet the challenges that they face. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
So, there you have it, the latest edition of the Coaching Conversation. Hope you enjoyed it, hope you found it useful, and I hope it did what it set out to do. As promised at the beginning of the program, here is a special offer for you, our loyal audience. If you reach out to me at gwiley@sagereen.com and mention this podcast, we'll make available to you a coaching program for you and all your team at a 50% discount. So, where can you reach us? So it's definitely gwiley@sagegreen.com. You can also reach us at theexecutivemindset@sagegreen.com. And our website is clearly theexecutivemindset.co.uk. If you enjoyed this, do please leave us with a wonderful rating on Google. We'd really appreciate that. So nothing more for me to say now other than see you again soon.